Imagine buying a state-of-the-art, like million-dollar robotics system for your factory floor. You bolt it down, you plug it in, you power it up, only to realize your human workers don't actually know how the product is assembled.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a problem.
Right. Like there are no blueprints, there are no instructions anywhere. The only guy who knows how the parts fit together is Gary. And well, Gary is currently on his lunch break.
Classic Gary.
Exactly. So that incredibly expensive robot is just going to sit there completely useless. Or, worse, it's going to start just smashing things together at random. And that scenario sounds totally absurd, right?
Oh.
But that is exactly what small and medium businesses are doing right now with artificial
Oh,
intelligence.
absolutely. I mean, it's happening everywhere. Everyone wants the shiny new technology, but very few organizations are actually prepared to hold it.
Yeah, they just aren't ready.
Right. They are injecting this high-speed automation into environments that are essentially, running on duct tape and human memory.
Welcome to the deep dive. Today, our mission is unpacking this massive, almost panic rush to adopt AI. And we're exploring exactly why it often goes horribly wrong for small and medium businesses, often referred to as SMBs.
It's a huge issue right now.
It really is. And we were looking at a really fascinating stack of internal strategic documents, psychological frameworks, and even some visual brand assets from an organization called Playbook Ops.
Yeah, their approach is super interesting.
Actually, I was looking at their brand assets right before we started, and their logo is just this perfect visual metaphor for what we're going to talk about today. It's a play button, but it's constructed from continuous lines and connected dots.
Oh, right, I saw that.
Yeah, and it's all rendered in these vibrant, forward-looking gradients of green and cyan.
I mean, it's a highly intentional design choice, right? The continuous lines represent workflow, the dots represent like connection points or data, and forming it into a play button signifies action and momentum.
Exactly. It visually represents this whole idea of connecting the dots to finally hit play on real business growth.
Yeah.
But here is the core realization we're going to explore today. Most businesses out there look at that forward-looking cyan gradient, they look at the AI revolution, and they think they are ready for it.
But they really aren't.
Right. Beneath the surface, they are actually suffering from critical operational exposure.
Yeah, they are trying to build this advanced technological structure on a foundation that doesn't really exist. And what's interesting is that Playbook Ops has developed a very specific, almost clinical lens for viewing this market.
Also,
Well, they don't look at a business and think, they need our software. They look at a business through a comprehensive maturity spectrum.
okay, let's unpack this because in the source materials, there is this internal directive about their AI operations expansion roadmap. And the documents are very clear, almost stern, actually, about what this roadmap should not be.
Yeah, they have strict rules.
Right. It explicitly avoids generic AI advice. There are no random automation tips. No canned PDFs listing, the top 10 AI prompts.
And the reason for that strictness is crucial. If we connect this to the bigger picture, the roadmap is not, hey, what AI tools should you buy? The roadmap is what operational maturity layer comes next.
That is a big shift.
It's a fundamental shift in positioning. Playbook Ops is acting as what they call a business operating system diagnostic engine. They use a five-level readiness framework.
So they're actually scoring them.
Exactly. They take a company, run them through actual scoring, looking at overall readiness, documentation maturity, workflow consistency, and they map exactly where that company is and what hidden growth risks are, lingering in the shadows.
But I have to push back here for a second. I am putting myself in the shoes of a stressed-out founder. I see an assessment online, and my immediate reaction is going to be, oh, great, another quiz.
Right, totally understandable.
Because most founders I know, they just want a solution. They want the magic AI fix. Are companies mistaking these assessments for just like personality test marketing? Like, which AI tool are you? Take this BuzzFeed quiz for B2B founders.
I mean, that is the exact danger highlighted in their strategy documents. Sophisticated operators will subconsciously ask, is this a real diagnostic, or is this just thinly veiled marketing language?
Yeah, it feels like a trap.
Yeah, and if you just spit out a generic, hey, you're a go-getter, here are three AI tools for marketing, well, you lose all credibility. You become a BuzzFeed quiz.
So how do they avoid that?
That's why Playbook Ops anchors their roadmaps in rigorous, dynamic operational diagnostics. They measure hard things like knowledge transfer velocity, key person dependency risks, and operational visibility.
So it's not about flattering them at all.
Not at all. It proves to the founder that they aren't crazy. When a founder sees a customized report detailing their exact bottlenecks, it puts hard data behind their exhaustion. It proves this isn't marketing, it's an operational mirror.
Which brings us to the most uncomfortable and honestly the most fascinating part of this framework. If there is a five-level maturity map, we have to look at the very bottom, level one.
The messy part.
Yeah, because this is where the vast majority of chaotic, stressed-out businesses currently live. Playbook Ops calls this stage critical operational exposure, and it represents a score of anywhere from 0 to 39 out of 100 on their index.
And they have a very specific psychological profile for the founder operating at this level. They call them the firefighter.
The firefighter. Man, just the name alone makes my blood pressure spike a little bit.
Oh, I know. But it is highly descriptive of their internal day-to-day reality. At level one, everything in the business feels reactive, fragile, and deeply exhausting.
Because nothing is written down.
Exactly. The business doesn't actually exist in systems or process maps or centralized databases. It exists almost entirely in passing conversations, in rapid-fire Slack messages, in human memory, and in just daily panicked improvisation.
I was reading through the psychological profile of the firefighter in the sources, and it's heartbreakingly relatable. It's like running a bustling high-end restaurant where the menu, the secret sauce recipes, the supplier contacts, and the seating chart only exist in the head chef's memory.
That is a stressful kitchen.
Right. The restaurant might be making money. People might be eating and enjoying the food. But the chef is sweating bullets every single second of the day because if they look away for 2 minutes, a literal kitchen fire starts.
That's a perfect way to visualize it. The company is growing entirely through sheer brute force effort instead of actual operational structure. And the emotional toll this takes on the human beings involved, it's profound.
The documents actually describe the founder feeling constantly interrupted, right?
Yes. Mentally overloaded and completely unable to focus on long-term strategy. But the most striking detail in the source material is what they feel beneath the surface.
The quiet shame.
Yes. The quiet shame. These founders secretly harbor this thought. Maybe I am the problem. Maybe I'm just a bad manager.
So that's heavy.
It is. They look around at other companies on LinkedIn that seem to be scaling effortlessly, and they wonder why their own business feels like it's constantly on the brink of collapse.
And their biggest fear is losing people, right?
Yeah. Their most terrifying fear is that if one key person leaves, maybe it's a senior manager, maybe it's their lead salesperson, or maybe it's themselves, the entire company grinds to a halt.
Which means they can never leave.
Practically speaking, yeah, they can never truly unplug. No real vacations, no weekends off where they actually put the phone away, just constant low-level dread.
I want to pause and talk directly to you, the listener, for a second. Have you ever felt that quiet shame? Have you ever had that nagging fear that your company or your department or even just your project team is only succeeding because you are personally dragging it across the finish line every single day?
It's a very isolating place to be.
It really is. And because the firefighter feels this immense pain and isolation, they get desperate. Yeah. And when people are desperate, they reach for the wrong lifelines.
Exactly. And this is where the AI rush really exacerbates the problem. Because what does the firefighter think they need? They think they need a shiny new toy to fix the human mess.
Right. They think AI is magic.
Yeah. They think they need to hire better employees, or instead of more discipline, or hire an expensive external operations manager. Or, most commonly in today's landscape, they think they need to buy a sophisticated new AI software or a complex project management platform.
Like it'll just solve everything instantly.
They think artificial intelligence is going to come in, scan their business, and magically organize the chaos.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because AI only amplifies whatever processes already exist. It's like installing a Formula One engine into a car with a rusted transmission.
Ooh, that's a good analogy.
The engine doesn't fix the rust, right? It just tears the car apart faster.
Mechanically speaking, that is exactly what happens. Think about how a large language model or an AI automation actually works. It requires structured, labeled data to identify patterns, make decisions, and execute tasks.
Which level one completely lacks?
Right. In a level one business, the rules of the company only exist as vague vibes in a Slack channel, or in a panicked email sent at 2 a.m., or entirely inside the founder's head. There is no training data.
So when you plug an AI into that environment, it is literally nothing to learn from.
Precisely. It will just confidently hallucinate bad decisions at scale, or it will constantly ping the founder for clarification, which completely defeats the purpose of the automation.
So you're back to square one.
Basically, the symptoms remain constant interruptions, the founder remaining the absolute bottleneck for every approval, and repeated mistakes. You simply cannot automate tribal knowledge.
What's amazing is how Playbook Ops chooses to approach this misdiagnosis in their sales strategy. Put yourself in that conversation. You have a stressed, exhausted founder who has built a company with their bare hands. They come to you asking for AI to help them scale.
Yeah, they're begging for it.
How do you possibly tell them, actually, your foundation is a mess without sounding incredibly insulting?
It's all about the strategic reframe. The messaging strategy at this level strictly forbids using heavy AI jargon, pushing immediate automation, or making the founder feel technologically behind.
So what do you say instead?
Instead, you validate their overwhelm. You normalize the chaos. Playbook Ops tells them, you do not have an AI problem. You have an operational foundation problem.
You translate it into empathy.
You say, it makes complete sense that you feel this way. The reason you are exhausted isn't because you're a bad leader. It's because you're operating without a safety net.
Oh, I like that.
By doing that, you reduce the shame. You explain that what they are experiencing isn't a personal failing. It is simply the mechanical reality of being at level one.
So in a way, Playbook Ops isn't initially selling software at all. They are selling relief. They are selling breathing room.
Mm-hmm.
But critically, they also make it clear that the solution to this pain isn't an advanced neural network.
No, the cure has to match their fragile emotional state. When a founder is in that state of critical operational exposure, if you hit them with a massive 6-month systems overhaul project,
they'll panic.
Yeah. If you talk about automation architectures and data pipelines, they will freeze. They will retreat. They are already overloaded, so they physically and mentally cannot take on a massive new project.
Which brings us to the antidote. And the antidote for a level one firefighter is remarkably simple. The primary call to action, the big step forward, is simply build your first SOP.
Standard operating procedure.
But wait a minute. I have to challenge this. If I'm a level one firefighter, my hair is literally on fire. I'm fielding 50 questions an hour. I have a client angry on line one and a supplier ghosting me on line two.
That's a bad day.
Yeah. And your solution is for me to sit down, open a blank document, and write a standard operating procedure. I don't have time to sleep, let alone write a training manual. Isn't that totally unrealistic? It sounds like you're telling a drowning person to build a boat.
Well, if you pitch it as building a boat, yes, they will drown. And that's exactly why Playbook Ops doesn't use the phrase training manual or systems overhaul at this stage.
So how do they phrase it?
Build your first SOP is designed to be low friction and highly guided. It's not about documenting the entire company. It's about finding the single most annoying, repetitive question the founder gets asked every single day and writing down the answer to just that one thing.
Ah, okay. So it's not a luxury yacht. You're just tossing them a single life preserver so they can catch their breath.
Exactly. The sources mention that successful offers for this level one group include things like a free SOP build session or a founder bottleneck strategy session.
Oh, that sounds much more manageable.
It's consultative. You sit down with them and say, let's find the one thing you repeat 10 times a week and let's get it out of your head. It provides tangible, immediate, visible progress.
They can actually see it.
Right. The founder can look at a digital document and say, okay, this one workflow is now outside of my brain. It exists in reality. That stabilizes them emotionally.
Because the goal at level one isn't selling a SaaS subscription. The goal is creating the belief that operational relief is actually possible. It's moving the user from their identity as a reactive founder to the beginning stages of a structured operator.
And this is where the genius of the five-level roadmap really opens up, because once they build that first SOP, they catch their breath. The dam breaks. They start to stabilize. And according to the framework, that moves them up to level two.
Level two, which Playbook Ops calls the dependency danger zone. This is where the founder becomes the bottlenecked builder.
Mechanically, what happens at level two is fascinating. The business is growing, and they now have some documentation. They realize growth requires operational transfer. But the founder still doesn't fully trust the systems.
So they're micromanaging.
Pretty much. They have the SOP, but they still insist on double-checking everyone's work. They are no longer fighting fires blindly, but they are still the ultimate bottleneck for approvals.
They see the value of the systems, but their own psychology hasn't fully let go. And once they fix that, once they learn to delegate authority along with the SOPs, they progress to level three, the operational risk zone, becoming a structured operator.
At level three, the mechanics of the business change significantly. You actually have departments running well, sales has a process, fulfillment has a process. But the risk here is that these systems are disconnected.
They're siloed.
Exactly. Sales doesn't automatically talk to fulfillment. Data is siloed. The operations are structured, but they aren't talking to each other seamlessly.
Which is the perfect catalyst for level four. Because at level three, they ask, how do we orchestrate these systems? They realize that true operational advantage comes from orchestration, not just having a bunch of separate tools, which propels them to level four, becoming a scalable leader.
And level four is the operationally stable company. This is the promised land for most traditional businesses. High consistency, good data visibility, low founder dependency.
The dream.
Yeah. The company operates on clear dashboards and predictive metrics. If Gary goes on lunch break, anyone else can look at the system and know exactly what to do.
This is where the founder can finally take that two-week vacation without checking their phone. The conversation fundamentally shifts from how do we survive today to how do we accelerate tomorrow?
This raises an important question, though. Once you are stable, what is the ceiling? And that acceleration leads to the Ultraware Level 5, the AI-leveraged organization.
This is the forward-looking cyan gradient from the logo. Mm-hmm. This is where the magic they originally wanted back at Level 1 actually happens.
But notice why it happens here and not at Level 1. At Level 5, the organization already operationalizes knowledge perfectly. They have clean, structured data across all departments. Their workflows are documented and orchestrated.
So the AI actually has something to read.
Right. So when they finally inject artificial intelligence into that solid foundation, the AI actually has data to read. It can recognize patterns. It can dynamically adjust supply chains or personalize marketing at scale without human input.
It's not a band-aid anymore.
Exactly. It isn't a band-aid anymore. It's a force multiplier.
They achieve asymmetric market dominance. They can do the work of a company 10 times their size because the AI is running on a pristine track. It's incredible. They go from drowning in Slack messages at level one to compounding their competitive advantage at level five.
But there's a catch.
Right. They could never have reached level five if someone hadn't first looked at them at level one and said, stop looking at AI. Let's build your first SOP.
And this reveals the biggest strategic insight from the entire stack of Playbook Ops documents, the realization that fundamentally transforms how you view technology adoption. You're not selling software, you are selling progression.
Every single readiness level represents a completely different operational identity, a different emotional state, and a different mechanical reality for the business. You have to be the guide that moves an organization from operational dependency to true operational intelligence.
If you try to sell a level 5 AI architecture to a level 1 firefighter, you are committing diagnostic malpractice. You are handing them the F1 engine while their transmission is literally falling out on the highway.
So what does this all mean for you? If you are sitting there listening to this and you recognize yourself in the profile of the firefighter, if you felt a little ping of recognition when we talked about that quiet shame or the fear that your company is just held together by your own stress and memory.
It's time to take a step back.
Yes. The biggest takeaway is that your first step isn't a complex neural network. Your first step isn't buying a new automation tool to fix your team's mistakes. Your first step is getting the tribal knowledge out of your head and onto a page.
It is about recognizing that operational chaos is not a character flaw. It doesn't mean you are a bad leader. It is simply level one.
Right.
And the only way out is through documentation, standardization, and a willingness to confront the foundation before you try to build the Ben House.
We started this deep dive talking about precision, about how we want technology adoption to be clean, like engineering. But business isn't clean. It's human. It's messy. And it's built on a million tiny undocumented habits.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
The real diagnostic genius isn't pointing at a broken process and saying, buy this software. The genius is handing a drowning founder a pen and saying, let's write down how you do what you do.
It's about connecting the dots one by one until the machine can finally run on its own.
I want to leave you with a final thought today. Something to mull over as you go back to your desk or your shop or your chaotic Slack channels. Look at your own daily workflow. Be really honest with yourself. If you disappeared for 2 weeks tomorrow with absolutely no cell service, what is the exact operational bottleneck that would cause your entire system to crumble?
Yeah.
And more importantly, why haven't you written down the solution yet?